We're going to have a chat about films that just don't let you go, particularly those which are about news or journalism. Why? Josh Nelson, film critic, will tell you. Hi, Josh.
Good afternoon.
The film that you've seen is Nightcrawler. This is a film about news gathering. I don't know if it's a film about journalism, though, I've got to say, Josh.
Well, you'd have to put that in the quotation marks, I think, journalism. This is a film that stars Jake Gyllenhaal, or Gyllenhaal, depending on your preference. And he plays a guy who, through a set of circumstances, starts videotaping crashes around the darkened streets of LA at night to sell to a kind of late-night tabloid news station. And before long, he starts manipulating crime scenes and getting to the scenes of crimes before the police, and the consequences start to escalate as the film goes on.
It sounds revolting.
Look, it's pretty biting satire, actually. And look, this, I think it's a striking film. I think Jake Gyllenhaal's performance is really remarkable. I mean, he's sort of transformed himself for this role. He looks physically gaunt. He looks sick. He acts the part as if I use the phrase wonderfully inhuman, because he doesn't really blink in this film, and he's so gaunt. And it reminded me of early De Niro performances like The King of Comedy and Taxi Driver, where you have that sort of obsessive masculinity that doesn't feel quite right. There's something NQR about him and where he's coming from, and the way in which it integrates that type of character into a commentary about news media, ethics, journalism is really fascinating, I think.
There's something NQR about him, and that makes me feel I don't want to see the film. Do you think it's a good film? Do you think it's a film? I mean, my criteria is, did I get something out of that? I mean, did it move me or inspire me or teach me something? Or I have to get some sort of positive enjoyment out of it on some level.
I'm not sure it's enjoyable in a traditional sense. It's an interesting film. I think it actually is enjoyable in the sense of a thriller, and it works on really two levels. It works on a sort of a slick noirish thriller, because it's a sort of a genre piece in that sense, set in LA at night, and he's roaming around videographing these various sort of scenes of trauma. But it also works as a really smart social commentary, and I think the commentary in this film works on probably three levels. It works on just the surface level of tabloid journalism and where is the moral line, which he seems to keep crossing. And, you know, his sort of counterpart in this is played by Renee Russo, who's actually the partner of the director, Dan Gilroy, and she plays the sort of the graveyard shift news director. And there's this curious relationship which develops between them, where each one almost starts egging on the other to kind of push the boundaries further and further. But I think beyond that, you could almost say the film's commenting on cinema and the way film manipulates audiences and where are we now in terms of that. But also, as just a statement on American capitalism, because this guy, I mean, the character that Gyllenhaal's playing is a kind of, that sort of self-actualization, self-help guru. Like, all his rhetoric is this deadpan rhetoric in the style of, like, Anthony Robbins, but this sort of dead-eyed Anthony Robbins. And he mentions at one point that he has no formal education, and everything that he's learned has been from the internet. And you get that sense that this is a guy who has no real sense of human contact. He's isolated and alone. And that may sort of give us some sense of understanding about why he has no ethical qualms about doing the sort of things he does in the line of duty.
Let's have a little listen to Nightcrawler.
The name of my company is Video Production News, a professional news gathering service. That's how it should be read, and that's how it should be said. I also want to go to the next rung and meet your team, and the station manager, and the director, and the anchors, and start developing my own personal relationships. I'd like to start meeting them this morning. You'll take me around, you'll introduce me as the owner and president of Video Production News, and remind them of some of my many other stories. I'm not done. I also want to stop our discussion over prices. This will save time. So when I say that a particular number is my lowest price, that's my lowest price, and you can be assured that I arrived at whatever that number is very carefully. Now, when I say that I want these things, I mean that I want them. And I don't want to have to ask again.
Yeah. Yeah, righto. Look, I guess that, Josh, and I can see you reveling in my discomfort. As someone who has been a reporter and has been on the road and has seen accidents, has seen people at their most vulnerable, and who for whom the media is the last batch of human beings they want to roll up and start videotaping and answering questions, that this I find absolutely repulsive. It just is repulsive for me, this film.
Well, he's a
sorry, Jake.
He's a repugnant character, but I think the film contextualizes that. And that's what, I guess, that's the other aspect that reminded me of those early De Niro films. Because even with those films, he's our point of identification when the narrative begins. But gradually over the time, I think what's interesting about those films and this film too is the way in which it starts to question the audience's identification. And I don't think we're meant to like him. I think there reaches a point where each time he crosses a line, we start to see him as quite a repugnant character, even like a parasite. And the opening scene is interesting because before he gets into this sort of tabloid journalism or tabloid, you know, enterprise, he's selling off scrap metal that he's stolen. I mean, the film sets him up as like a parasite, a scavenger. And I think that's a kind of a nice way to sort of frame his character in the context of what happens later. So yeah, it is repugnant what he does. The storyline deals with some fairly questionable issues, but I think it does in a classy way that doesn't sensationalize the violence, doesn't romanticize what he's doing. And I think that's a really important ethical dilemma. Otherwise, the film would be kind of questioning the ethics of journalism while indulging its own kind of, you know, ethical issues.
1300 222 774 if you'd like to join the conversation, or you can text on 0437 774 774. Do you have a favourite film about news or journalism? And you know, I just don't think this film is about either one of those things. And the other reason that it disturbs me so much, Josh, is I don't think it's inevitable that this isn't going to be where the world ends up.
Well, I think we're there now. I think that's why it is a very much a film that is now. And look, some of the best news films or films about news are kind of prophetic in that regard. I mean, I think one of the ones, my nomination was going to be Network, you know, a film 1976, I think, around then. You know, you look at what that film was saying 40 years ago, and it's already come to pass in terms of tabloid media, in terms of reality TV. And people remember the, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Well, we got mad as hell and it still happened anyway. And everyone seems to be taking it. In fact, they're indulging it on a nightly basis. I think that's what makes those types of films interesting. And this one really, I think, has something to say about the contemporary state of affairs.
Yeah, it says that we're all turning into these mercenary, monstrous robots who want to feed off each other's misery.
Well, it does, so in a critical manner, at least it holds up a mirror. We're not kind of, it doesn't pander to that, I think. I think that's the key point of distinction. You know, it's a film that should leave the audience uncomfortable. And I think it's good that it does. Maybe it's not your Saturday night popcorn film or a date movie, night date movie, but I think it is interesting.
Makes me want to go and hug the cat and never come out.
Well, a lot of tabloid media does that to me too, so...
1300 222 774 if you'd like to join the conversation. Although I didn't mind The Newsroom, which I think starred Jeff Daniel. I thought that was okay. I watched a few episodes of that, and then I turned off it because he, being the news presenter, was involved in this hostage drama with somebody in Egypt, and the story that they were covering was compromised to the extent that the whistleblower had been effectively kidnapped by some hardliners in Egypt and were asking for a ransom. And the newsreader, which was Jeff Daniels, who I thought had acquitted himself rather well until that moment, then bursts to the fore and offers to pay the $250,000 ransom for the whistleblower to be released from the clutches of these evil extremists in Egypt. And then I thought, yeah, and that's where you lost me.
Well, yeah, Newsroom lost me too. I actually stuck with it through the first two seasons. I haven't seen any of the third season, which is on at the moment. But where it lost me was it seemed the first season I thought had an interesting setup, and that is it was going to deal with real actual news events in the context of this fictionalized newsroom and sort of chart those kind of key events within the year leading up to, I think, the Obama election or the re-election. And then by the second season, it just becomes soap opera. It's more about the relationships and the kind of, you know, the...
Between him and his senior producer and the unrequited love thing.
It's kind of Bold and the Beautiful territory. And I just thought this film really has, this TV show rather, has nothing to say. And I thought that was a real shame. And I think...
Lee and St Kilda, good afternoon.
Oh, hello there.
Hello.
My favourite film about news and journalism is The Insider. It's one of my... I must have seen it, you know, three or four times by now.
Okay. Tell me about The Insider, Lee. I haven't seen it.
Well, it has Al Pacino and Russell Crowe, and it's about the whistleblower for Big Tobacco. He's a the Russell Crowe character is a scientist based on a true story.
Mm.
And I think what I love about the film is that at every point there's a new moral dilemma presented. So does he decide to talk to the head of 60 Minutes about his story? Then Al Pacino's character, who's the 60 Minutes producer, he has to protect him against Big Tobacco. And there's just as they progress, each of these two protagonists, they're presented with new problems.
Mm.
And part of it is that he signed a contract which he's not meant to talk about what goes on inside the smoking industry.
Okay. Thank you, Lee. Have you seen The Insider?
Yeah, many years ago. It's the film that I think Russell Crowe probably should have won the Oscar for. And I think in hindsight, politically speaking, in terms of the way the Academy works, they gave it to him the next year for Gladiator, a film which he probably shouldn't have won it for. So
was he the good guy or the mongrel?
He's the whistleblower in The Insider. It's a Michael Mann film. It's really good. It's probably the best film Michael Mann's done in a few years, actually.
Shiraj is in Knoxfield. Shiraj, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. I was talking in the newsroom. I love the newsroom. It's season 3 is in the halfway point now, so I love it. You guys don't, obviously.
No. We started off loving it, though, Shiraj.
Well, it's Sorkin, and I'm hating Sorkin, so I'm biased towards it. And
yeah.
I guess. Anyways,
okay.
Favorite newspaper movie, Zodiac.
Zodiac?
It's about Zodiac Killer. It's not really about newspaper, but it's about your newspaper following it, being Jake Gyllenhaal and Robert Downey Jr., following the Zodiac Killer and trying to find out who he is.
Why does this appeal to you?
Firstly, it's David Fincher. secondly, it's dark. It's I like darkish movies.
Yeah.
And I like All the Business Men. So I like movies about newspapers that actually investigate something. So
yeah, okay.
And also being a true story as well, so it's almost a true story.
Yeah, that adds to its resonance. Thank you, Shiraj. Great to hear from you. Thank you so much. 1300 222 774. Have you seen Zodiac, Josh?
I have. I'm a big fan of Fincher, like Shiraj, but and I think it's a vastly underrated film. But again, Jake Gyllenhaal, maybe he's got a predilection for dark, kind of obsessive films as well, because he is in that film, and it plays off this mirroring of his obsessive nature in terms of trying to hunt down the Zodiac killer, while the Zodiac killer's obsessively conducting all his kind of grisly business.
I just
again, not another Saturday night popcorn film or date movie.
1300 222 774. If you'd like to join the conversation, tell us your favourite film about news or journalism. Steve in Parkdale. Steve, good afternoon.
Mine is Salvador, James Woods and John Savage.
Oh, when did that come out?
A while ago.
Yeah.
The shot of John Savage trying to replicate the shot of the plane coming in the Spanish Civil War, and he gets mown down by the plane.
Right.
Yeah, and just the whole... James Woods is just so frenetic in that.
It's quite a seminal film, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, and the Quaid boy was in it.
Yeah, the Quaid boy, Dennis.
Yeah, I loved it when he... about journalism.
Yeah.
When they're at a party, and there's a real sort of, like, mega bitch American reporter, a straight woman, and she's going to go on the roof and do an interview.
Yeah.
And he's dropped an acid tab in her drink. And so she's on the roof, off her face, doesn't realise what's going on.
Right.
And yeah. It was it was funny, but it was terribly sad.
Steve, great to hear from you. Salvador.
Yeah, I think Oliver Stone wrote and or directed that, who's proved himself quite an impressive documentarian, if you saw The Untold History of the United States of America, which I think he released last year. A really good sort of 10-12-part series.
1300 222 774 if you'd like to join the conversation. You've also got lined up for me, Josh, which is very brave of anybody to remake this film, A Streetcar Named Desire.
Well, it's not a film in the traditional sense. I should say this is a production or a recording of the stage play that was on at the Young Vic earlier this year. It's A Streetcar Named Desire, starring Gillian Anderson as Blanche DuBois. And these productions have sort of grown over the last 3 years. This one's released through National Theatre Live. And look, I hadn't seen them, and I'd stayed away from these mainly because I have a thing about theatre masquerading itself as film. Because I think I see them as sort of fundamentally different mediums.
Mm.
I was a little bit cautious, but the Gillian Anderson draw card was too much to sort of say no, because I think she's a wonderful performer. And this production, which releases next week, it opens on December 13th, her performance in this is absolutely sublime. I wished I'd been able to afford the tickets to leap over and go and catch this in the UK earlier this year.
So this is a film of a theatre production.
So it's the theatre. So what they've done is they've filmed this in front of a live audience during one of the, you know, during the season. And we get a kind of a snapshot, or not a snapshot, we get the entire production, but with the live audience. I mean, this was produced in sort of theatre in the round, so we often see the theatre audience in the background of the shots, which is a tough ask to kind of capture that filmically when you're so conscious of this being a stage play on screen. But look, I had some real issues with this production in terms of the direction, some of the artistic choices, as much as I love Streetcar Named Desire. But for me, Anderson's performance as Blanche DuBois is absolutely sublime. It's striking. It's as much the definitive performance of this character as Brando is the definitive Stanley Kowalski.
Let's have a little listen to A Streetcar Named Desire.
Hey, what time is it?
7:15.
It's so late. Don't you just love these long, rainy afternoons in New Orleans when an hour isn't just an hour, but a little bit of eternity dropped in your hand? And who knows what to do with it?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get wet in the shower?
Oh, no, ma'am. I stepped inside.
Okay, that's a little snippet from A Streetcar Named Desire.
Are you a fan of the play?
No. Oh.
Okay, tell us what you really think. No, that's fair enough.
I'm your counterpoint this afternoon.
No, that's good. It makes for good radio.
I think, though, but based on your exhortations, I would actually go and have a look and see if I could be convinced. Gillian Anderson, she of the X-Files fame, and she is an extraordinary actor.
Yeah, and she, I mean, if people haven't been keeping up with her career post-X-Files, she has been in some remarkable TV shows and films recently. The Fall, which has just started its second season, the production set in Northern Ireland, she's remarkable in that. She's done, she pulled off one of the great performances in the remake of Great Expectations as Havisham, one of the great Havishams, I think. But there's something about the way in which she captures Blanche's sexuality and that strength of sexuality while also coming off as incredibly fragile as well. I think it's such a tough ask for a performer. And she just captures that so beautifully. There's some things that don't quite work about for this performance with me. The musical interludes between scenes feel really clunky and ham-fisted. There's one where they come in with Chris Isaak's Wicked Game, sort of pop music in between the scenes, and it kills what's been a wonderful scene between Blanche and the character of Mitch just previous to it. And I also had real issues with the way in which they depict the rape scene at the end of this play. I think there's the possibility that you could interpret it as being romanticised in some way. And there's also an action which seems played for laughs. And I find that really troubling because this is the moment that Stanley breaks Blanche in the context of the play. And I think it's such a key moment that I think if you're going to go down that way, you've got to handle it with a fairly deft touch. Otherwise, you leave yourself open to some pretty major criticism, I think. But look, that aside, I think, you know, it's worth going to see it, even though it's on screen and it's not live, just for Anderson's performance, because it really is quite remarkable.
I shall go, and I'll hold you personally accountable if I don't like it, Josh. Kim in Maribyrnong. Kim, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Not bad.
The movie about journalism that I've been told that it's a bit of left field is Man of Steel, the latest Superman incarnation with Clark Kent, of course, as a reporter, and Lois Lane as a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist.
And that does it for you, Kim?
Yeah, it does, actually, especially at the end of the movie when she says to Clark Kent, "Welcome to the planet."
Great to hear from you. Thank you, Kim. Have you seen it, Josh?
I have. I was not a fan of Man of Steel. I'm actually disappointed no one called in to nominate Anchorman, a film about journalism or the newsroom.
Or broadcast news.
Or broadcast news. Good night and good luck.
Or All the President's Men.
His Girl Friday. Look at the ones we could have reeled off.